I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.
Welcome to another episode of Cinematic Universe. I'm your host, James Hunt, and joining me is...
Reese Williamson.
And Joe Cunningham.
Hey!
Yeah! Returned.
Hey! You sound healthy. So healthy and well.
Yeah, it's been a fun, what, seven weeks? I had a baby.
Whoa!
We were in the hospital with the baby, and then we left the hospital with the baby, and then we had to go back to the hospital. Everything was fine, and then we came home, and we started to adjust to life with two children, and then I went back to work, and then suddenly someone went, oh, do you want to come to Chicago for literally 48 hours? And I said, yes, please, after saying to my wife, like, yeah, I've just been invited to Chicago. I couldn't do that, could I? And then... she said, I guess you could. Don't bring back COVID, though. And then I got COVID. my angry red line on the COVID test has turned into a faint little glimmer. Ooh. In the background. So Big Pando, still with me, but I'm mostly recovered. So here I am, back on the pod, ready to talk about, I don't know, some news.
So much stuff. In fact, you specifically requested that you be allowed back onto this to talk about all your favourite things.
Yeah, like so we're just going to talk about She-Hulk, right? Is that the idea?
We're saving that.
Okay.
Because listeners, James is off this week, and so the She-Hulk episode... I say listeners, no, not normal, not you plebs. The people paying us the money and their little sweet cash... Patreon subs, the She-Hulk episode this week will be myself and Joe, and you'll get to hear, you know, what Joe thinks of She-Hulk, and what if his view is, you know, really positive and different to me and James's. I guess we will find out.
I mean, Joe's been listening to all of those episodes, so he'll be very well informed. Yeah.
Every second.
The second biggest change in his life to happen over the last 7 weeks is he's now a big fan of the James Reese episodes.
It's pretty close to the first
change. It's quite sort of neck and neck.
What I've listened to while I've been gone is because Evangeline had recorded her own version of DC League of Super Pets, we listened to Reese's version of DC League of Super Pets. I then messaged Reese about that, was then some talking behind my back on the podcast. You were snitched on, so I listened to that bit.
And snitched
then,
on us?
I messaged you to set the record straight.
And then we brought that up again on the podcast.
Yeah.
Who bloody snitched?
I haven't listened to that, so now you snitched, Reese. I'll have to listen. Someone's going to have to send me a time code, though, so I'm not going to listen all the way through.
What if, like, Laura, Joe's wife, is, like, secretly a massive fan of the pod?
Now I can tell you categorically, the last episode of the podcast that my wife listened to was our Avengers Age of Ultron episode.
Interesting. Why?
Because when we first started the podcast, she was supportive.
Okay, sure. So what episode was that? Was that like episode 3?
Yeah, she reached a point. Well, no, it was in the first year, I think, Age of Ultron. She still doesn't know you're on this, Reese.
No, that's fine. And we keep it that way. This is our little secret. This is our little secret place, Joe. Just me and you. And James is here as well.
Yeah, I mean, come on. More than most, I would say.
More than most, yeah. Anyway,
so we've got quite a lot of news because D23 2022 happened. But I'm not going to start with that because...
What's happened last couple of days?
We almost recorded this episode yesterday.
Hmm.
And just about the point where we would have finished recording, they release some news. So obviously they didn't realise, because normally they wait until after we've recorded to release the news. But we outfoxed them this time.
Yeah.
And Ryan Reynolds posted a little video to his Twitter account indicating that Deadpool 3 was going to guest star Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
I mean, indicate, and then, announcing it, and then the date. They're sort of in
They've since released a follow-up, yeah. They've released a follow-up that does confirm that is going to happen. Mm. So, how do we feel?
I'm just devastated for Logan, which, you know, now I won't be able to watch the same way. Because the character had the perfect ending, and... what can you do? What can you do after that? I mean, just whatever happens here will ruin that perfect ending.
Of Wolverine impaled on a stump.
Wait, no, sorry, hold on.
Logan being the perfect sign off for Hugh Jackman has overtaken. Did you know that Logan is secretly a Western? As like the cliche line about that movie. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, like it was a good ending for the character. But it's not a perfect movie. And also, like, it's not really a movie that feels like it caps off Wolverine in the X-Men movies. It's a movie that feels like an almost like self-contained little button, a little what-if story at the end of the X-Men universe, going, this could be an ending for Wolverine. And, you know, like, tonally, I think we know that we're in for something completely different. So, I don't know. I think everyone who is up in arms about the perfect sign-off being ruined should probably relax.
Yeah, I mean, similar happened with Patrick Stewart, and he came back again. So why not Hugh Jackman as well?
Yeah, and that Patrick Stewart appearance was awful, and... I've already forgotten about it, and it doesn't impact any of the X-Men movies that I enjoyed. There were also a bunch of, you know, terrible movies that Patrick Stewart was in and that Hugh Jackman was in, and there were terrible movies with, like, different versions of those characters and good versions with different versions of those characters. So, yeah, you know, all that really matters is, will a Deadpool movie with Wolverine in it be funny? And... I think the answer is probably yes.
Yeah, I mean, I know Deadpool 2 isn't much loved by most people. In fact, most people seem to have just forgotten it happened. But the X-Men stuff in that, Cable, Juggernaut, Colossus, I thought it was really funny and quite close to the comics. Closer, in fact, than any of the other movies. So,
isn't the better hit on this news that, speaking of Deadpool 2, that they sort of already did this in Deadpool 2. This is a dynamic Deadpool versus the, you know, sort of squaring off or bouncing off of the kind of more serious, grizzled, violent character. That's, you know, I think, and yes, fine, Wolverine in the movies is, you know, the Hugh Jackman Wolverine has sort of done lots more, so maybe you pick a bit of a different lane, but I think there's that piece to it, and also what version of Wolverine? I'm sure that this is the whole point of this announcement is you're all a sunny intrigued. But, you know, I do wonder. Yeah, I sort of wonder what version of this? What's this Wolverine going to be? Because also, you know, they talked about. You know, you had that Taron Egerton sort of will he be cast as Wolverine thing. They have announced in the past that Deadpool. Is going to be in the MCU, right? That's what the next movie is going to be. I feel like they have announced that. So therefore,
It's in the Ryan Reynolds video, yeah.
Right. So, like, what is this? Who is this Wolverine? Is this how connected are we to all the Fox X-Men movies? Maybe they're going to pull a like a this sort of all happened like Daredevil in the shows. Like rather than it was in a different universe, this kind of. No, this happened, and these were the guys who did it. I don't know.
So I don't know if you've spotted this in the previous installments, Rhys, but Deadpool knows he's in a movie.
And, what? He's sort of a cheeky monkey.
And I think that's also why I wouldn't get too hung up on, you know, they did this in Deadpool 2. Because as James says, yeah, no one remembers. And also, yeah, they're, with any character, Deadpool allows them the freedom to do whatever they want. Now... this is going to be a movie directed by Sean Levy, so, you know, expect it to be competent, if not very interesting, because that's what that dude does. And,
and sorry, have you seen The Adam Project, Joe? Come on.
No,
I've seen it.
And?
It is competent, but not very interesting.
Did he direct Real Steel as well? Is he the Real Steel guy?
Yes, he's Real Steel. Yeah, he's the Night of the Night of the Museum was the thing that kind of made him, and he did Free Guy, didn't he? I think
he did Free Guy. Yeah,
Free Guy is what's, and he's one of the Stranger Things EPs. Yeah, I mean, like, I think he's one of those like quintessential good in the room Hollywood guys, and I think Ryan Reynolds trusts him as a safe pair of hands to steward the Ryan Reynolds thing, and. I would expect this to be a movie that, you know, is not introducing Wolverine in the MCU proper or anything like that, but is probably just a movie that ends up with Deadpool being in the MCU in some way. And maybe it is like, you know, Wolverine and Deadpool kill the Fox X-Men universe, right? It could be so, or like I've seen people throwing around, like, could they do like a musical, or could they do all kinds of silly stuff of it. And hopefully, right, that would be really fun. Because, to be honest, like, that was kind of some of the stuff that I found least interesting about the second Deadpool movie, was them kind of stealthily trying to do actual X-Men stuff in it at the same time. I don't need that kind of, like, silly take on the Cable story, or, like, a realistic depiction of Juggernaut. What I just want is a goofy comedy in the superhero world, and
I don't know that's closer
to what this is.
That's surely not the direction, though, that the Deadpool movies are moving in. Like, and this almost this casting and this announcement, it kind of is more of a statement of like, oh no, this is just so, it's sort of so obvious, you know, based all of the sort of dynamics between those two actors, and it's so obvious, but it's also like the kind of, it's almost like the Captain America 2. And it's Civil War, you know, it's like, and everyone going, oh, and, you know, and Iron Man's in it, and that's the conflict, and, oh, that movie's going to make a lot of money. This feels just so, very super commercial. And so, and I think because of that, it's definitely not going to, it's surely going to be less of a, you know, taking fewer chances than that first Deadpool movie did. And that movie worked because it was kind of raunchy, it was funny, it was slapstick, it was a bit gross. And this two was a bit less of that. And then this one, but also because it'll be, well, I don't know if they've talked about, would it be R rated, or I'm not sure about that.
I think they have confirmed it's going to be R rated. Sure.
But with Hugh Jackman in it as well, I don't know. I think it'll be a bigger, more expensive movie with more action, and the jokes will be, there'll still be loads of jokes, but you know, I bet you it's going to be what's the word? It's sort of,
fine.
It's going to be less interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think it's going to be a fine time.
Yeah.
And I don't think it can be less interesting than Deadpool 2.
No,
really think that's one of the bigger misfires of, like, and a movie that, like, has its moments, but basically the one sequence I remember from that movie is where, like, all of the X-Factor dudes die.
Yeah, yeah.
And apart from that, the rest of it is kind of a blur, and just being, like, And finding it kind of annoying that they fridged one of the best things about the first movie in it as well. So, yeah, I don't know. Like, I've said this on Twitter. If anyone follows me at Joe Cunningham 14, but the Ryan Reynolds has just the dude has become a brand, and like Ryan Reynolds used to be one of my favorite actors. I loved it when he was doing the shtick that he now does all the time. You know, I watched Two Guys, a girl in a Pizza Place, and loved that. I loved him in Van Wilder, and that whole goofy shtick that he'd like perfected in the early 2000s. But then what I really liked about him was that he would go off and make the, you know, give these like performances with more depth in interesting projects at the same time. So he would go off and make a movie like The Nines or The Voices, and give actual performances. And sometimes those movies would be bad as well, but you know, at least he was taking swings. And pretty much since Deadpool hit, he stopped doing that. And you know, every movie is just a slight tweak on the Ryan Reynolds brand. And, you know, every movie performance might as well be the dude who posts videos on his Twitter account. And so, yeah, I think a Deadpool 3 probably won't take huge chances and will be safe, but will also probably be that base level of likability that you get from Ryan Reynolds, that base level of charm, that base level of he's really good at the one thing he now still does. And if you throw Hugh Jackman into that, who is, you know, not only good as Wolverine, but also a talented comedic actor who, you know, can do the big musical showman stuff as well. If they have the tiniest bit of fun with it, then it has the potential to be like an enjoyable time at the movies. And also, I think it's worth remembering that the Deadpool movies don't feel like all of the other MCU stuff. So if they manage to keep it feeling like a little, like even a little bit of like MCU counterculture, then that will be good.
we're badly in need of that. So I think that is a good take. We can only cross our fingers and hope that's what happens.
Well, it's interesting as well that you know, in an alternate reality, there is a film, a behind the camera shepherd of these movies as well, but you know, in the absence of that, I think almost by design, it's almost more of a Reynolds sort of brand dump every Deadpool movie. I kind of mean that in an okay way, you know, like the. I can't remember the director of the first movie or the writer. Was it Rhett Reese?
Rhett Reese and Paul Wernick were the writers, and right. Tim Miller directed the first one.
So now with, you know, you've got none of those people. I don't believe that you've got any of those people involved in three.
Miller left the second one,
right,
because of like behind the scenes right. wrangling with Ryan Reynolds, I think. And I think what Reynolds did was basically make himself the chief creative force behind Deadpool, and, you know, has brought in his mate who has delivered, you know, solid work for him on other stuff, who's probably going to let him do his thing.
Whereas you compare that to, like, the, you know, let's compare the Rock and Ryan Reynolds' Instagrams.
Well, those are the two guys who have the most similar vibe, I would say, right now.
Yeah, but the Rock, the Rock A doesn't. Well, we haven't seen the DC, the power dynamics of the DC universe change, so maybe Black Adam comes along and does that. But he doesn't have a similar, you know, one character. And I think those movies can feel different to each other, even if he makes 500 by, you know, Jean-Mi Colette Serra.
You've seen that, you know? Meme, right, of The Rock stood in a dirty white t-shirt in the jungle, and it's like, these are four different movies. It's like Jumanji and Jungle Cruise and Welcome to the Jungle and Journey to the Mysterious Island, and it's just... They're all The Rock doing the set, and Rampage. They're all The Rock in a jungle.
but Reynolds as Deadpool, he just clearly has. I just think I can't think of an equivalent of an actor with a single role where he, as you say, he is the creative. He is the creative person. So almost the way his Instagram videos, which I'm sure probably have actually a few extra, you know, a few people on the staff of those. He's not just talking into his other camera, but like. It will be
production company.
Yeah, those will be as Ryan Reynolds as the Deadpool movies. It's just complete overlap of star, you know, of actor star and IP. And that's, you know, and then that can just, I think that means that could be fun. That could sort of, it obviously allows him, you know, huge freedoms. And but also he's obviously like a fucking hard nosed business guy, right? With all of his companies. The Wrexham thing, you know, he's obviously a business guy, so he's got completely that head on his shoulders, so he would never do anything to sort of jeopardize that. But yeah, is he going to continue to just walk, just sort of go down that tightrope line between the two? I guess that could be fun to watch on a sort of meta level.
I don't think we have much to worry about. I think you're right in that he knows what he's doing, and he's not going to He's not going to ruin his own chances.
Do we know where this release date puts it in, you know, like which phase and what it's around? Don't know if anyone's done that work. CBR.com probably has.
I was going to say, I certainly haven't been paying attention.
On this pod has. So what are they? They announced it for what? Is it June 2024? Is that it?
Yeah, it was 2024, yeah.
Yeah, so that would put it between Captain America, New World Order and Thunderbolts.
Okay, anything to take from that? No.
No.
No. Great insight, Reese. Great. Okay.
Thank you. I asked a, asked a question I had no interest in actually answering, and then you got an answer. I had no take on that new content.
Okay, cool. In that case, I'm going to move us on to the next piece of news. I don't think we've talked about this. If we have, let's feel free to do it quickly. Have we discussed the cancellation of Batgirl? We don't have to spend a lot of time on it, but I feel like we should acknowledge it.
God, did we?
We definitely have, haven't we?
I don't think so. It happened last month, didn't it? And we haven't recorded together since July, so...
I mean, it's pretty old news.
Yeah, I just wanted to check in. Bit of news out of DC.
What is it to say about this? It's aside from the fact that it is, you know, a real shame that a movie that's been made, we aren't going to be able to see. It is interesting that clearly the strategy over at HBO Max, Warner Brothers, is changing. It makes you worry for some other movies that we were, you know, that we were expecting to see. But, something like Blue Beetle, for example. Mm-hmm. And I think probably the takeaway from all of it is they're not going to be pursuing these smaller budget movies on HBO Max anymore, and they're probably going to pivot back towards the bigger stuff. And maybe the performance of the Batman earlier in the year had something to do with it. Obviously, the internal politics of someone new taking over and wanting to scrub away a lot of the work of the previous regime had something to do with it as well. Mm-hmm. Also, tax write-offs. But I think, you know, particularly just, you know, looking to the future, I think we talked just before that news came out on the podcast about how it didn't feel like a bad thing that we were getting all of this, you know, all of these weird kind of like disconnected dribs and drabs from DC, because on a movie by movie basis, you could get some good stuff out of it. But it did feel really strange that they didn't seem to have a coherent plan for what they were doing. And maybe that will come now. Who knows? Maybe they'll unite the seven.
It does feel to me like part of the reason they haven't pulled the Flash is because it does feed into that wider strategy somehow. Because if they're going to take a tax write-off on not completing Batgirl, it sort of feels like, given the circumstances, you could do that with the Flash as well.
I don't know. I don't know the contractual stuff, obviously, but I would imagine it had more to do with it being a straight to HBO thing, and that literally it didn't have a revenue stream attached to it. So, you know, if you release a movie in theaters and then sell the, you know, the rights to, I don't know, cable networks and or like do sell it to Netflix or whatever and sell DVDs, if this was only ever going to turn up on HBO Max, then it's probably a lot simpler from an accounting point of view. And I think the Flash stuff still comes back to, if you...
That Oscar win.
If you walk up to the average person on the street and go, oh, have you heard about what Ezra Miller's done? They go, who?
Yeah.
And you go, oh, you know, the guy from the Harry Potter movies. Maybe, kind of. Do you want it? Do you care? No. I think that is why a Flash movie is still coming out. And yeah, it fucking sucks that, you know, a Batgirl movie that was coming from a diverse set of creators and in front of camera talent has been jettisoned, and that movie starring someone who has, you know, very publicly done some very unpleasant things is still coming out in cinemas. But I think that's the reason why, because broadly the general public don't know, and if they did know, I don't think they'd care.
The other thing I want to add, and me and James, we talked about this on the last Patreon a bit, but I think I said, you know, we should talk about it in the news. But I don't know if, Joe, you read, did you read this Hollywood Reporter piece from about 12 days ago now?
Probably not. Yeah, assuming that I've read anything in the past 2 months is a stretch.
Anyway, it's by Kim Masters, who, you know, is a really, really a veteran entertainment reporter. And it's called Warner Brothers Discovery Has Bigger Problems Than Its DC Search. And it's sort of, it's about, you know, the pretense is about the, you know, the hunt for David Zaslav, who's the head of Warner Discovery, new head, search for his Feige. And, you know, Walter Hamada, who used to run DC Films, is sort of, I think he's still in post, but, you know, he's on his way out. And it's, there was another guy, I can't remember his name, but he was sort of in the mix and then pulled himself out. But anyway, then what the piece really gets to, and what I think now is my belief of what's going to happen and colours all of this stuff, is that actually this is all just, you know, this, the selling of Warner Brothers, AT&T selling Warner's to Discovery and then a merged media company. Zaslav is going to sell the whole company further on to NBC Universal when they can, which is in 2024. And that is now actually industry sort of not just scuttlebutt, but just assumed knowledge. And then I think
I just want to chip in here, because just before we recorded, I saw a news story where Zaslav had said that Warner is absolutely not for sale, addressing these particular rumors. Whether you believe him or not, debatable. But
fine.
It should be pointed out that he has explicitly denied that this is going to happen.
I think Zaslav is stripping the DC stuff and all the HBO pieces, stripping what he can for tax write-offs now, and then cutting, you know, basically just trying to, you know, to take no kind of creative risks and just trying to leave the projects that, A, I guess, you know, got so much invested in, but, you know, the ones that are the most sure thingy, to claw back some of the huge debt that the company as a whole is in, and to basically just create as sellable a product as he can in, I think the date here is like Feb of 2024, so still, you know, 18 months away. But that should colour how all of the decisions we see for the DC slate, for, you know, for instance, the axing of the Bad Robot HBO Max show. So what, Justice League Dark and the Constantine show and Madame X, and instead actually they're going to do a new Keanu Constantine movie. And you know, maybe James, that's in your news thing.
So I was about to say, stop stepping on the bits.
No, sure. But like, regardless of what we feel about, you know, excited about that film, that probably is a more commercial prospect to release that in theaters than a new kind of Justice League Dark TV universe that probably would take a longer period of time to bear fruit. So it's Game of Thrones prequels and it's the big DC stuff in theaters, and then they make the heirs of sort of a real vision for the DC universe, but actually they probably will try and release the most obvious money making shit over the next 18 months, and then they sell it, and then, you know, NBC Universal basically starts all over again. That's my mm-hmm. take.
I mean, and if that is the case, I guess with our very niche or narrow, sorry, superhero movie lens on, then not much changes, right? Because it goes to a studio that doesn't have their own superhero mm-hmm. stuff, really. And I don't know, maybe we'll get Fast and the Furious crossing over with... finally, there's a way to get Vin Diesel and The Rock on
Hobbs and Shaw X.
Yeah.
By the end of DC Super Pets, all over again. You know, he's just playing all the parts.
But yeah, from a broader perspective, fuck, that would be depressing.
I'll put a pin in this, that the NBC Universal do buy all of that and it merges, and then at that point they just restart the DC movie, so we get, you know, new Batman, new Superman. They'll just restart at that point. They'll you know, clean slate it, because at that point probably, you know, you've had an act, you would have had some of the bigger hits of the DC stuff will have sort of might have matured a bit, you know. So you've had that second Aquaman film, you've done the Joker sequel. I mean, who knows if we get a third Joker movie, but it's kind of mad that we're getting the second one. But, you know, so that's kind of, you've sort of done that as well. You would have had 2 Shazams, you would have had, we'll see how Black Adam does, but you know, I don't know that there's not an obvious, you know, it's not like we're mid Christopher Nolan Dark Knight trilogy. Like, I wonder if in 18 months, that's kind of a good moment to say, okay, no, we're actually done with all of this and we're just going to restart.
I mean, it's possible. I think you're out on a limb, Reese, but I like the...
I'm out.
I like the ambition. I'm going to move us on to the next news item. Did you know that they have announced Constantine 2?
Oh, what?
Have you heard? Yeah, have you heard the news? Keanu Reeves is coming back to make Constantine 2. Sorry, Constantine.
He was a teen, wasn't he?
He was.
Have you seen the first one? You probably did an episode on it.
I saw the first one in cinemas.
Is it good?
It's fine. It's okay.
It's... Okay. So, my memory, James, from when we watched it last time. So, it was a movie that I, like, for some reason had on DVD as a teenager, and I can only assume that, you know, it was cheap.
were there any boobs in it, Joe?
I don't... Oh, actually, I can't say with any confidence. Rachel Weisz was in it. I did have a crush on Rachel Weisz, so... my memory of it is that it is kind of better than its reputation at the time, but not as good as its kind of like salvaged reputation has made out. Having said that, I think, you know, obviously modern day Keanu, the kind of movies that he's making now with, like, you know, his John Wick action type of movies feel like they would sit really comfortably alongside a Constantine movie.
Absolutely, 100%.
And Keanu is the level of box office, I think, for the level of budget that a Constantine movie would demand. That character has a little bit of cultural capital, a little bit more than it had... The character has popped up in enough places between the Flaroverse and now Sandman that there is, you know, there's a little bit more weight behind that IP in the mainstream culture. I think it makes a lot of sense, and I not convinced it will ever make it to theaters, but it makes sense that a Keanu Constantine movie has been greenlit. Good for him. I don't think Shia's coming back, or Rachel Weisz. I think this might just be a Keanu joint.
Yeah,
we'll fill in the demons around him.
I'll look forward to see if he's still chewing that gum or not.
Tilda, probably not.
Okay,
I think she'd be up for it.
I think she'd be up for it.
Peter Stormare, right? He's in there. Is he Satan? Lucifer?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. This is as obvious to me in a good way, but, you know, whatever. This is almost as obvious as the Jackman in Deadpool 3. To all your points, sure. So
I think you have a strange definition of obvious.
No, like, when you hear it, you know, if you'd have asked me 2 days ago, what will Deadpool 3 be? I wouldn't have said it'll be, oh, Hugh Jackman will return as Wolverine and it'll be a two-hander. I wouldn't have said that. But when you hear the news, you go like, oh yeah, of course.
Yeah,
and similarly,
sense, yeah.
I wouldn't have said, oh, you know, what's Keanu Reeves' next project? What next announced project? Oh, definitely a Constantine sequel. But when you hear it, you go like, oh, of course, because it's sort of perfect for where he is in his career and his, you know, and where he is in his like action career and the John Wick stuff. And yeah, it just makes so much sense.
We were chatting on a popular messaging client earlier today, and
not that popular.
No, a less popular one than the popular one. A medium popularity messaging client. not part of the metaverse, and we were saying, like, you know, what are the things that, like, Hugh Jackman coming back, what are the things that it feels like, you know, could still be announced and like generate that kind of buzz or excitement from fans. And we were, you know, say, like, it is becoming a smaller well to go to, because most of the things that if a few years ago we'd have gone like, well, that will never happen. Well, now, like, as you're saying, Reese, we kind of just expect them to happen because a lot of them have. But what one of the ones that I think is, that is very similar to this that I kind of feel is inevitable is that Nicolas Cage will do Ghost Rider again, and that, you know, and he will, whether it it's a cameo in an Avengers movie or something, or whether he turns up in a Disney Plus show as like a, you know, like
Ghost Rider passing on the torch.
Yeah, yeah, but it just feels like especially post Pig and post tax problems and Nicolas Cage stepping back.
Was that any good? When did that come out?
I just
tax problems.
That feels like this, you know, like, oh, there is an older actor who we all like, who likes making this kind of thing, and he's done it before, and he'll do it again. And yeah, so that would be the next one, I think, that feels
think
like
there's not.
It is inevitable, but it will, you know, it'll happen in something that we're not expecting.
It's true that there's not a lot of low-hanging fruit left, and that's one of the juicier apples still on the tree.
And that I can think of one that is low-hanging but won't happen, at least not for a while. But I can think of a lot. So I think there's sort of two: Christian Bale as returns as Batman, or like Nolan comes back to Batman. I think those seem like they would get people really excited, but seem pretty far off. Nolan maybe even more than Bale, but I don't know. I mean, you know, even something like Downey Jr.
Well,
and Evans back it as those characters. I think that will happen. I do.
That will be the next. That'll be the next phase of it. Like once we've exhausted all of this, you know, like
the old guys,
crazy multiverse stuff. Then the thing that will be exciting will be, you know, first movie of Marvel Phase 7, Robert Downey Jr. appears out of the shadows. You know?
not MCU superhero stuff, right? So those are the MCU characters I think covered that would probably come back and would be big. The Spider-Man's like, well, we've done that. The X-Men, you know, we've done that. The Supermans, I mean, you know, there's no one's going to give a shit if Brandon Ralph came back as Superman in a fucking TV show on the CW. You don't give a shit about that. So, yeah, I sort of think
Keaton's about to come back and no one's really talking about it.
No one cares, you know. So I think it's Bale. I think Bale is Batman / Nolan. Like, that's it. I can't think of anything else.
Wesley Snipes' Blade cameo is what we were thinking. And also,
people wouldn't care about that. People
and spoiler, it's already happened in What We Do in the Shadows.
So then it's about, you know, and the Deadpool, you know, the Deadpool announcement. What's left to get people truly on an emotional level excited about these movies? You know, that isn't just.
Isn't just original content.
I don't know. That's got to kind of keep some of those, you know, the Amy Pascals and probably the Kevin Feiges and the Walter Hamadas or whatever. That's got to keep them up at night a bit. Like we're now maybe into this sort of, I don't know what generation you want to call this of getting people excited, right? If Avengers, well, anyway, we could go through it, but. Maybe we are at the tail end of this phase where you not phase in the fire, you are phase in the more generic sense of proper sort of cross casting and trying to get people excited that way. And there's not much left of that. So what do you do after that? You know, I don't know.
Retire to a big island to sit on a pile of money, I think, is the answer.
It is still working for now, though. I think that's the key. It's still working for now. The Wolverine news is proof in the pudding. And
it's making people talk about Deadpool 3, that's for sure.
Yeah, and the fact that, you know, there's a studio out there who's gone, yes, we will finance a Keanu Reeves Constantine movie. You know, we're not out of that phase yet. We might get there, but we're not out of it yet.
Okay. On that thought, I'm gonna move us on to the D23 news. I'm going to start, I think, with the biggest piece of news. We'll talk through them roughly in order of how important they are. I'm going to start with the logo reveal for Armor Wars.
Can we just actually, just to my point, James, what's your guys' view on, you know, pre-San Diego? I think we talked about, you know, what kind of news would hit the two conferences and the size of the announcements. And for me,
the, well, not from it, so it's just clear, like the sort of the scale of announcement at SDCC were much, much bigger than at D23. Has that surprised you? Do you think that was the right decision for them to make? What are your thoughts on that?
I think D23 is always primarily about getting Disney's investors hyped. So it makes sense to advertise the big stuff at San Diego where it's for the fans and for...
It's for the fans.
The stuff that's imminent. You know, that's where the big headlines are going to come from, I think. Although, maybe in future that will change. Undeniably, yeah. These announcements were slightly less exciting than the SDCC stuff.
I don't care where they announce things. I don't think most people know where they're announcing things.
No, quite. Like, obviously, it's notable that the fandom has gone away. DC fandom, right?
Ah, has it?
I think so, yeah. I think they killed it for this year. I could be wrong, but...
Somewhere, there's like, teams of monkeys wandering around it. That's on. Do you guys think the Deadpool news was supposed to hit at D23?
No.
Well, he mentions it in the video, doesn't he? Yeah.
I'll tell you what news I did think, and that's the Fantastic Four news, but we'll get to that. That's the one. Is that the one that happened like 2-3 days after D23?
Again, you're asking me to parse anything from the last month or so. Let's pause and Reese, let James have his flowers.
the Armor Wars logo.
They're still making Armor Wars.
They are still making Armor Wars. They said it wasn't going to happen. I remained faithful to the idea, and I've been rewarded. Did you see the logo? It's got a little arc reactor on it, which I think says a lot about what the show's going to be about.
Also, I don't know what this says about me. I genuinely can't remember whether I really didn't think that the Armor Wars wasn't happening, or whether it was a bit to poke you with, and I can't. I think maybe I thought it wasn't happening when the logo disappeared. So that's very nice for you, James.
I am very happy. I'm looking forward to Tudor getting Zemmies. Because imagine if they gave him a nom for just that, like, 8 seconds in Falcon and Winter Soldier. They're going to be blown away by an entire series of him.
Did he get anything for the logo? With it having an arc reactor on there?
No.
I gave him an Emmy.
I gave him a Golden Globe.
Weird.
Okay, so what else happened at D23?
The announcement was made, finally, of the Thunderbolts movie with a full lineup.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. So I'm gonna read out the lineup. Julie Louis-Dreyfus as Valentina Allegra de Fontaine. David Harbour as Red Guardian. Hannah John Kamen as Ghost. Olga Kurylenko as Taskmaster. Wyatt Russell as the USA Gent. Florence Pugh as Yelena Belova. And Sebastian Stan as the Winter Soldier.
So
are they just making a Black Widow sequel here, guys?
they are. Mate. This is one of the things that annoyed me most about this.
It's just Black Widow. Yeah,
it's a stealth Black Widow sequel is what you've got here.
And she was pretty stealthy already. So right? That's stealth times two.
I've got to be honest, I am not happy about this lineup. Not even slightly.
Our theories were all well off then in terms of what the Thunderbolts would be, that they'd be like, you know, what we were talking about on the Thor Love and Thunder episode, that there would be like stand-ins for each of the... Avengers.
Counterparts, yeah.
Hercules would be the Thor, and Abomination would be the Hulk. Kate Bishop would be the Hawkeye. And basically, the only... So we got the ones that we knew about, right? Which were Wyatt Russell's US agent and Florence Pugh's Yelena / New Black Widow. Mm-hmm. And then you're right, like, most of the cast after that are... Well, you've got what? Ghost from... Ant-Man and the Wasp, who seems to have been rumoured for this for a long time, and I'm assuming this is one of those cases where it's like the studio is more excited about being in business with the actor than they are about the character.
Well, Ghost was a major character in a run of Thunderbolts. It was a different version of Ghost, like it was the male version, but I can see why they've tied her to the brand, and again, the actress being who she is, I can see why they went, oh yeah, we'll roll the dice on that.
And then, yeah, you've got, obviously, we knew about Yelena, but also David Harbour's Red Guardian. Olga Kurylenko's Taskmaster, apparently, although, her name is now on the Marvel website, so I think we have to assume that she's in the movie. She was barely in Black Widow. Mm-hmm. There isn't, an existing character for us to expect to see, and, it wouldn't surprise me if someone else is under that costume at some point in the movie. Because when they announced it, they were like, oh, all the cast are on stage, apart from Florence Pugh, who was away filming. And Florence Pugh, Skype or something, but she wasn't there. And then, she wasn't initially announced on the website. And I don't know whether it's one of those that, I'm sure she'll be in the movie in some capacity because she was under the costume the first time. So, but yeah, it wouldn't surprise me, especially knowing that, in Thunderbolts, the identity of one of the characters has been a major twist in the past.
Mm-hmm.
That Taskmaster is, in fact, someone else. So we can wait and see on that. I don't know if I'm massively disappointed because, it's not the version of the film that we thought they were making, and it's not a version that, has a direct parallel with the comics, but in that lineup, there are, I mean, apart from Bucky, who, my God, that pretty boy keeps getting paid. But apart from Bucky, everyone else, I'm and especially it's one of those where you look at most Marvel projects and you go, okay, so they're making a team movie with Hannah John Kamen, Wyatt Russell, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Florence Pugh, and David Harbour. Yeah, fucking yeah, sign me up. That sounds fun. That sounds really fun. I think it's kind of blown out of the water our expectations for the movie. I don't expect it to play as a Black Widow sequel. I expect it to play as its own thing.
The thing that worries me is that four of these characters are basically Captain America stand-ins. It feels like a very small group of people whose superpower is they can fight and are strong. And
that's kind of the MCU though.
No, I know, but it
For a long time that's kind of been the MCU.
Yeah, but I feel like there was a bit more diversity in the gimmicks. I don't know. This lineup of characters doesn't excite me. I get that the actors are all good. I'm particularly excited about seeing Wyatt Russell back as US agent in something with a proper budget and actual writing.
And just hopefully a consistent character throughout the movie.
Yeah, right?
Just make him a slightly, a cockier, less moralistic version of Captain America. And then, you go. Have him bantering with Bucky.
Yeah.
Have them kind of bantering about who's going to be the, the sidekick. And I mean, mostly, I think what was clear from the promotional art for this as well, at less than being a Black Widow sequel, this looks like a team movie where Florence Pugh is the lead, which makes sense. I think that character has been very effectively introduced and is played by one of the most talented young actresses that we've got right now. And then also that Julia Louis-Dreyfus is a key part of this. We are kind of our TV is just flicks onto sitcoms at the moment when we've got half an hour when we're waiting for the baby to finish feeding or whatever. And at the moment it's either Cheers or Arrested Development. And we just, a couple of nights ago, I had the Arrested Development 2-part episode with Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and my God, she is one of the most talented comedic performers that we've had in the past 30, 40 years. And that alone, I think, is reason to give this movie the benefit of the doubt. Because, if we didn't know that she was in the MCU already and that had been announced at D23, you'd have gone, What? Fuck. JLD leading a Marvel superhero team. Fucking hell, that's cool. But yeah, we knew about it already, so it didn't seem as exciting.
That's true. My concern is that we're going to see a lot of gunfights and car chases in this movie, and those things bore me shitless. So,
curiously, it's going to be directed by Jake Schreier, who I think we mentioned this in a previous podcast, but his credits are Robot and Frank and Paper Towns. So Robot and Frank being a very low-key Frank Langella makes friends with a robot comedy, which is a nice, sweet movie. But again, you struggle seeing what was the thing that got him on the Thunderbolts thing. And then yeah, his other movie, Paper Towns, which was the kind of lesser adaptation of the Fault in Our Stars writer with Cara Delevingne. It's a very irritating movie. Apparently he's directed a fuck ton of music videos, like for Kendrick Lamar and Kanye West and Chance the Rapper and people like that. So maybe that's where his interesting work has been done. And I shouldn't be looking at his movies to figure out why he's just been given one of the big MCU films.
I think probably they've just done the thing of going like, just give us some character work and we'll handle the action sequences, and that's why it's shaken out this way.
Okay, I just want to make sure we leave this in the podcast. You know, occasionally there are these moments on the podcast where you're like, oh, fucking hell, I've been talking about Jake Schreier's filmography for a long time here. I desperately wish that Reese would jump in and cut me off from this. And that, listeners, is when his audio is cut out. Like, someone put the listeners out of this Jake Schreier misery.
I did actually have that exo listeners for the last, I don't know, 5-10 minutes. They couldn't hear me, and I was... But it was the sort of couldn't hear where I was making comments and then getting cut off quickly, and I was like, oh, I guess maybe the comment wasn't interesting enough. Okay, no, I'll stay in my place. Whereas actually the opposite was happening. Joe was like, please, Reese, I'm begging you. I'm fucking begging you. Interrupt me. I'm fucking begging you. Interrupt me. So here we go. We're back. I had so many good points about the Thunderbolts and all sorts.
Reese, can you either turn down your input a bit or back off, because the audio is clipping very badly.
Okay, I'll just sit further back.
Yeah, okay.
How's that?
That's great.
Oh, dear.
We're going to leave that in too, it's fine.
Joe, I promise you, we have not had issues for the 6 weeks you haven't been here. We've had, like,
it's been like
on
clockwork,
time.
It's true, yeah.
It really worked a treat. So I'm not blaming you, that's not what I'm doing. What I'm saying is, correlation is not causation. Yes, you know, the first podcast back after 6 weeks, for you, we've had all these technical issues as a group. So,
and when you say technical issues, one of those was you turning up 20 minutes late.
It was an e-scooter, you know, I wasn't charged. So it was a technical issue getting back to where I live. It was a technical issue. It wasn't charged right. You know, the wheel was off its axis.
The one episode that I was talking about listening to when I was off was the one where he spends the first 10 minutes apologising for the quality of the audio.
Yeah, thank God I listened to that back, because it was really a tough listen. It was a tough listen. Very windy day.
Where were we? Thunderbolts?
I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I've said everything I want to say about Thunderbolts.
The only thing I think that's still a relevant thought of mine is that I think actually, I've got two relevant thoughts. One is I think if they'd announced this and there wasn't, you know, 6 months odd of speculation that, you know, fairly uncommented upon, I sort of think we'd be more excited for it. If it was a bit more of a, you know, if you compare it to Guardians of the Galaxy, which felt a bit more out of the blue, and then the casting. Whereas I think it's because we've been, you know, it's because the Thunderbolts have been a fairly prominent team with a really big cast over the years in the Marvel comics for a long time, and so there's, you've got a lot to pick from and a couple of different really interesting versions of what that comic even was, you know, and it's not even clear necessarily which part of that they might be drawing from for the movie, but which is fine. We just maybe got too excited, and you know, you do hear there is this kind of I don't know whether it's the PR departments or it's a marketing thing, or but you know, within, you know, within companies that are trying to get people excited for things, I think there is it is good practice to kind of, if you see a rumor that's getting a bit out of hand and getting people are getting too excited about it, and you have no plans on actually doing that, you it sort of behooves you to tamp that down if you can, because again, you know, the fandoms these days, they can just get a bit carried away, and actually you need to get in earlier and say, hey, listen, you should still be excited about this, but it's not going to be the thing that you are really excited about.
Yeah, we're not doing that Dark Avengers idea that was really good and would have made so much sense. Yeah, exactly. We're doing a stealth Black Widow sequel. The one thing I'll say that I am glad about is that this is a movie, not a TV show. Because at least that gives us some indication that it's going to be big and it's going to be tightly written, probably.
Sure.
You know, not all of Marvel's movies have been that. Not all of Marvel's movies have been that. But for this specifically, I'm glad that it's going to be in film.
I think my second point was going to be that I think I wouldn't be surprised if this movie and this team plays a kind of a Guardians-esque role in the Avengers double header. You know, who knows what those movies are going to be quite, but you know that this will be the kind of it's they're not the Avengers and they're the kind of goofballs or the fuck ups or whatever, you know, they're the misfit team, because I think it's probably
gonna be anti-heroes, right?
Anti-heroes, sure. Yeah. I think it's probably unlikely that the Guardians are a team and are involved in the Avengers, you know, in the Avengers movies, and that's probably going to be done at least for a bit after Guardians 3, I'd guess. And so, you know, you're missing that. I think you're missing that second, that sort of second team of you know, characters that feel different to the Avengers. So perhaps that's what these guys will inhabit. But yeah, I agree with you, James. The point you made that, you know, when you look at the lineup, I was sort of looking at the poster thing because it's sort of not a poster. It's like a mock-up of the characters, right? You know, and basically you're looking at two, you know, hooded female ninjas, three Captain Americas, Florence Pugh and Julie Louis-Dreyfus, and it's like, okay, yeah,
a bit of redundancy, yeah. But then, you know, there's still a chance that we might get, for example, Abomination or Zemo.
I think Zemo, yes. Abomination, I think we have been fooled by the timing of that, and there was probably just a contractual thing of, or like a Disney like line wide thing of, we need to tease every project at least somewhere. So let's put a little teaser for Abomination into Shang-Chi. There you go. we got carried away. To be honest, not having Abomination in this project, not a terrible thing.
Yeah, it doesn't feel like he's missing from that lineup, that's for sure. Speaking of bringing back villains from the distant past of the MCU, Captain America 4 has been padded out a bit with Tim Blake Nelson returning as Samuel Stearns, aka the Leader.
Oh, sorry. I did forget to say in the list of, you know, actors coming back to their characters that would generate huge emotion. I forgot, of course, Tim Blake Nelson as Leader. Fuck. Okay. Yeah. So that's that. But now they've done that. So again, they've really played their hand now. Shit.
I don't want to be a Marvel shill, but at the same, I will say, Tim Blake Nelson, one of the better things about that movie, and it is one of those little nerdy joys for me that I think the MCU can provide of going, do you remember that character who 15 years ago we teased was going to be coming back as this comic book villain? Well, because the landscape of comic book movies has changed, we can now actually do that, I guess. And then on the face of it, what it means is Tim Blake Nelson is showing up in a Captain America movie, and good. Like, he's one of the probably better, like, character actor, supporting actors that you could bring into a movie like that. And he comes preloaded as, yeah, we did a tease for that 15 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they announced if they announced, let's say you never had him in The Incredible Hulk, if they announced, and they didn't say the character, but they said Tim Blake Nelson is going to be playing the villain in New World Order, I think you sort of go like, oh yeah, cool, you know, great actor, you know, sort of. I'm not sure he's taken that kind of role before, like, you know, sort of big baddie in a big movie, but he's, you know, he's, you could see that, and that's quite exciting. And as you say, the fact that he's also, it's gonna continue, you know, that the thread from that movie. It's, yeah, I mean, and they haven't necessarily said he is the villain, but if that is what it is, that's great. That could be really great, you know, that character who's a good villain in the comics, that actor who's a great actor.
I don't think he'd be the villain, do you?
It's hard to say. I think he will be part of the New World Order. Will he be the head of the New World Order? Don't know. But I think he's going to be fairly prominent. I don't think it's going to be, a Baron von Strucker, you know, one scene and then out type cameo.
Or like a Carl Urban, you know, I definitely think he could be the bad guy. Because also he's the thinker or he's the leader, James. Fuck,
the leader,
he's the leader,
right? Like, you know, clues in the name. He sort of, that's sort of one of his he leads groups, right? And it's Tim Blake Nelson, and yeah, I don't know. Yeah, as I say this though, I've got and Joe, you know, I know you haven't listened, but I've got a theory that he is. Well, this is before the casting. I had a theory that he was going to show up in She-Hulk. I don't even know now whether I convinced myself. I was pretty convinced on the last Patreon episode we did, James, you know, just a few days ago. Am I more or less convinced after that little chat I just had to myself? I'm not sure, but I'm still pretty, I think I'm confident he will show up and She-Hulk. Yeah, that's another proper shot I'm taking. Fuck it.
And just because I think it should be on the record, Tim Blake Nelson was very good in another superhero-related property, but we shan't name it. We'll move on there.
What is it?
Yeah, what?
It's the one we don't talk about.
Watchmen.
Don't say its name, James. You give it power.
Watch guys. Yeah.
Have you seen Watchmen? The show or the movie?
Yeah, he's the mirror mask guy.
In the show?
Yeah, in the show.
Oh god, yeah, it's really good. Oh, yeah. That's... Remember how good the program Watchmen is.
And the character gets like a whole like flashback reveal episode. He's really fucking good in that show.
Also, he's great in Kimmy Schmidt too.
He's in Kimmy Schmidt.
Wow. He's Kimmy's dad, stepdad.
Nice range. Please,
the cop so dumb he cannot fire his own gun, which frankly improves the police quite substantially.
Hashtag cop.
Well, you know, Captain America 4 is going to be a political movie, so it's, you know, we should.
All cops are Blake Nelson.
ACABN.
Just quickly as well, also announced for that movie, Danny Ramirez playing Joaquin Torres, the second Falcon.
Who was perfectly, like, enjoyable in the first episode of that series.
Before he didn't turn up ever again. Yeah. Until the last episode, yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, sure. Give it a go.
Carl Lumley, right? Had he already been announced?
Isaiah Bradley? No, this was news to me. I don't think it had been announced prior to D23.
That's good. I am... And so you would assume as well, what's his grandson called?
Patriots.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But what's he? I can't remember the kid's name. But
I can't remember the kid's name either.
He was in the TV show, and you'd have to imagine if you bring back Isaiah, you bring back young Bradley and set that character up a bit more as well. I don't know, like... The TV show was obviously so disappointing, wasn't it? Like, it was bad, it was poorly written, it was inconsistently written. But there were points in the show where it would momentarily address the kind of the racial power dynamics that it wanted to discuss within a superhero context, where you were like, oh yeah, pull at that thread a little bit more. Mm-hmm. This is what I think is
bringing that character back, bringing that actor back, suggests that they're going to do that story maybe a little bit more justice.
Yeah,
and I think that was one of the better scenes of the TV show when they go and meet Isaiah Bradley. Like, you know, it sort of unravels later on when they don't really know where to take the plot line.
And I also, I feel like I can't really let my disappointment in the TV show count against this movie, that it almost felt like part of the frustration with the TV show was that they were doing the Black Captain America on Disney Plus.
Yeah.
And so I really do think that this movie needs to happen. I hope it's good, and hopefully now Sebastian Stan is tied up elsewhere and won't need to show up in this
I think he's going to be in this movie, but a little bit.
I did read, because the casting you didn't mention was, I can't remember the name of the actress, but Sabra, you know, she was also announced as part of the cast.
Yep.
And I just feel like I read some, you know, sort of interesting, you know, there was pushback to that casting and that character entering the MCU, especially in a film, you know, in a film called Captain America: New World Order. I thought that was interesting, and probably the MCU, you know, I'm certain that the movie won't actually, well, definitely won't delve into that, you know, that actual real world politics, but it was interesting. You know, that was a new type of controversy from a MCU kind of casting announcement that I hadn't seen before.
Yeah, and I guess what to very briefly explain that. So she's an Israeli superhero, mm-hmm. and her name, whilst I believe that name
predates
the
massacre of the same name.
Yes, the massacre of the same name. It's a controversial character, and having an Israeli superhero in a movie will you know, automatically open a can of worms that I don't really feel equipped to discuss. And also, I kind of feel like just announcing that you're having a character based on that character from the comics doesn't really say what you're going to be doing with that character or how you're going to be using them to comment on stuff. So
yeah,
it's one of those that I feel like we should sit back and wait until the thing actually comes around, because you know there was a lot of very early online backlash to some of the Ms. Marvel casting, and then when that show came around, I think that people felt like it was broadly a triumph in terms of representation. Mm-hmm. So let's wait and see what they do with an Israeli superhero, rather than just going, this is automatically bad.
Yeah. Although there is one point about the character that I think is worth mentioning still, and that's that in the comic, she's a mutant. Not a very interesting mutant. She's just, you know, she's got generic superpowers, you know, like all Marvel characters, she is strong and fast. But interesting to me that they're introducing a character who is explicitly a mutant in the comics, who could potentially be one in the films. Yeah. Who knows? It's not exactly a minor X-Men or anything.
Maybe that's the New World Order.
But, cool. You know, the first time I encountered her was in X-Men comics, and so it's close.
Captain America 4, the one where Tim Blake Nelson comes back and creates the X-Men.
Yep.
I just read, guys, I was just reading, I was trying to remember the name of the writer, Malcolm Spellman, and I was going to say, oh, but, you know, what makes me wonder about whether this is going to be good and do all these issues, so that he was also the guy who wrote the show. And anyway, I've gone to the Wikipedia of that, and it references in the top paragraph, here's the line about Captain America New World Order. It is the 35th film in the MCU. That just... My mind boggles. That sort of, sometimes you forget, and then you read a statement like that, and wow, God, there's a lot of these. Wow. 35. Wow. Anyway, that's all. That was all.
I went through my Letterbox list whilst I was on paternity leave, because Letterbox have added a new feature where you can change the posters on movies.
On premium.
Yeah. I'm a patron, James. Come on.
Of course.
So I changed all of the posters on my MCU. There's 29 movies in there at the moment. I changed it all to the fun like arty ones that they have on the Blu-ray covers. Oh. Yeah, it's.
Does that make you feel legit, James?
It's a lot more satisfying now. All the way from the Avengers at the top to
Thor:
Love and Thunder down at 29.
I want those fucking. I want those bullshit Photoshop jobs that they shit out with 90 actors on because they're like, oh, maybe someone will go, oh, that's the one with that guy in. I'll go see that.
Listen, what's fantastic.
Those are the true posters.
What's fantastic about this new feature is that you can click into it and view all of the different posters that they've got, that they've got saved. So, like, you do get all of these cool, like, little variants and also some of these fucking inane character posters. And also, obviously, for all of the Spider-Man MCU movies, all of those horrendous Photoshop jobs that they did. Really entertaining. I think I used to have a running bit about character posters on my Twitter feed. I think I might have to create some fun lists of character posters on there because, boy, there are some bad ones.
Just want to check with all the letterboxed shenanigans. The nappy's getting changed on the new baby, right? Like that's you've sort of you're double check.
This was probably done whilst that baby was sleeping on me. It's like just need to do something to keep my brain awake.
Okay. Next piece of news. We had two trailers. We'll start with the Secret Invasion trailer. I was going to say, Joe, you watched it most recently. How did you feel about it? I think that pretty much tells us.
You could have told me, right, after watching this trailer, that they hadn't actually started production on Secret Invasion yet. Because, literally, this trailer, right, I'm going to play it on my laptop now. We've got ominous shot of some mountains, a car driving past a field. Some men sat in a room looking at a screen, still really no one talking. Oh, a city! That's on for 3 seconds. Some Skrulls walking out of the ocean, cut very quickly to the Marvel Studios logo before we can see them. A black sky, a spaceship. We've got shots of Talos that look like they're from the Spider-Man movie. We've got a shop. We've got the shots of the post-credit sequence from WandaVision. We've got shots of the post-credit sequence when I can't remember which fucking movie it was now. Maybe that was Spider-Man as well, of Nick Fury waking up in space. Yeah. Like the vast majority, we've got like a Skrull transforming into a random actress who we don't know who that is. Nick Fury doesn't talk in the trailer, and then like very, very briefly there's a shot of I think Kingsley Benadire, and that's it. It's like, whoa.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You have a cast, right? What was this announcing at D23? It's a bad trailer.
Well, then I'm pretty sure I saw Olivia Colman in something.
Did you? Maybe she is in it. I don't know.
Yeah, she's in it briefly.
She's in it very briefly. There is really not much to this trailer.
Make I'm sure like, he's got a beard now, right?
I'm not watching the wrong one, am I? There could be more than one.
I don't know. I think you might have watched a fan one, you know?
Really?
Yeah.
I remember. I mean, I watched a couple weeks ago, right? But it is a trailer. Joe did watch the trailer.
Does Nick Fury talk in the trailer?
What you need to look for is Marvel Studios Secret Invasion official trailer, because he talks, he's got a beard and he's talking to Maria Hill.
Oh, I didn't watch it then.
Yes, you go away for 2 months and you come back and you don't know how to use fucking Google.
I did watch this in the 3 minutes before the podcast while we were waiting for Reese. All right, well, can you tell me what's in the trailer then? Because I just described it to you and you guys were like, yeah, sounds legit.
Well, no, I was waiting for you to get to, like, and then Martin Freeman turns up and then Olivia Colman's in it.
All right, okay, so they're all in it.
All the lads are in it.
But so, in fact, the trailer I watched was probably from before they started production.
Yeah, that would make sense. However, fundamentally, the substance of what you've said has not changed, which is that it's a bunch of very generic images, and it has a sort of conspiracy vibe to it, but there's not a lot of meat there. You get the basic premise, which is that the Skrulls are secretly invading Earth and Nick Fury has been, preparing for it. And now it's happened.
Why are the Skrulls invading Earth? Because in the Captain Marvel movie,
they're good guys.
We liked the Skrulls. Yeah. And the Kree seemed like the wrong'uns. Are the Kree in this, or is Secret Invasion just a Skrull thing?
There's no suggestion that the Kree are in it. I think in the comics, the reason the Skrulls invaded Earth in Secret Invasion is because their homeworld was destroyed a long time ago by Galactus. And they were basically refugees and they went, well, Earth is, ripe for the taking. Let's have that one. And I get the sense that, in the Captain Marvel movie, the Skrulls were occupying similar territory in that they were people who had been sort of on the run
displaced,
from the Kree.
Yeah.
Displaced, yeah. And so you can imagine.
But that group of Skrulls we liked, and probably there's going to be some Skrulls turning up.
Yeah, Talos was one of the good ones, right?
Yeah.
But I imagine there will be other factions who are looking for a homeworld and think that Earth is the one to go for.
I've just found the trailer again now to sort of. I think it looks cool. I think it's got a visual language to it, Joe. If you watched it,
I haven't watched it.
I think it's got a visual style that does feel different to MCU general. I remember feeling that when I first watched a couple of weeks ago. But I think, broadly you've got a problem. You've got a thing to be excited about this and a problem. And the thing to be, I'll do the problem first. The problem is that the basic premise of the miniseries that it's adapted, that it's based on however strongly, we'll see. But, the idea of, such a thrill to have, sort of long existing characters in the Marvel comic / MCU that have been Skrulls the whole time. That was the hook of the comic, and it was fun in the lead up as marketing, and it was fun for like the first two issues where it was like, oh, fucking Spider-Woman's been a Skrull the whole time. Those were fun reveals. And now, to my memory, the comic never really, didn't really sort of follow through on that fun start. But that was the idea, and it's a good idea. And I kind of think with this, you're just not going to have that, because they're not going to burn. Burn sort of proper, quote unquote, proper characters and say they were Skrulls the whole time. I just don't think that's going to happen. And even if they did do that, we know the cast list of the show, and a lot of them are new actors and a Skrull who we know is a Skrull already. So I think you have that as you're taking a tool away from what is a good idea there. So that's the con. I think the pro is, this is the first MCU thing that is actually going to star Samuel L. Jackson, who is a wonderful actor, a really excellent, compelling actor who's been in this shit for a long time. And that should just be exciting. I think that is exciting, that he's going to lead this. And let's see what that is,
It's true that Samuel L. Jackson has a lot of charisma in pretty much everything he does. So even if this is one of the sort of weaker Marvel TV shows, you kind of think, well, at least he's going to be fun in it.
And the cast, the cast is really, I'm just sort of, again, I'm
and looking, Olivia Colman's going to be in it, yeah, good. So
Emilia Clarke,
Cheezoid herself is going to be in it.
Cheezoid, exactly. She, I mean, Olivia Colman is I would argue one of like the absolute most talented actors working right now. Actually, you know, the work is there, the Oscar nominations are there. She is at the absolute top tier, and almost the fact that she's even doing this, there's got to be something there. She doesn't need. I don't think she needs to do this. She is, you know, she's got to be one of the most in demand actresses.
It could just be a very nice payday that affords.
I was going
to
say
affords her the scope to do the movies that she wants to be able to do.
But you could also see her. Well, it can be, but you know, it can be both things.
No, it can be both. Yeah,
and her being good in it, and also like you know that there's a scene in the trailer that I just was flicking through where you know Colman
never heard of it.
Coleman is in a room sort of interrogating a bedraggled Samuel L. Jackson. If this is the Sam Jackson versus Olivia Colman show for six episodes with an interesting visual style that, again, Joe, you'll have to trust me on this one. Like, cool, fine. And maybe we don't get the fun, reveal-y stuff that the comic had. You know, fine, sure. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm happy with that as I'm excited enough. From what we know of it.
How about, as a fun reveal, Martin Freeman is in it?
Yeah.
Looking forward to him?
What?
Looking forward to him?
Yeah, I guess.
I reckon he's a Skrull, you know.
I think that's a pretty good shout, actually. Yeah.
I would be looking down the list of characters that we already know who, you know, are not new characters and be going, yeah, they're Skrulls.
You're probably looking at there'll be I'm not even calling it a big reveal, but I bet you in the first episode, at least one known MCU character who is revealed to be a Skrull, and that will be a sort of a shock. I think they're not going to do that multiple times, but you know we might get a Spider-Woman-esque kind of character reveal. I could see that happening.
Well, we'd said Sharon Carter, hadn't we, since that show. So,
but if that's the one, that would be boring. You know, that would be. I think a superhero, right? Like a sort of. I'm trying to think now off the top of my head, but
it's a Disney Plus show, though.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
Worryingly, War Machine is in this too. So
you can see it. No, because Armor Wars. They have.
Yeah, it could be a fake out.
And also,
Armor Wars has come in, but no, then he's an alien.
Is the reveal going to be, oh, they've been a Skrull the whole time, or at some point they were replaced with a Skrull?
I think it's going to be the latter.
So we can return everyone back to their place where we need them to be.
That's why I think Martin Freeman is going to be in this series, and then maybe two-thirds of the way through he's going to turn out to be a Skrull, and the real Martin Freeman is in a, you know, pod somewhere. And they rescue him, and then he's in Black Panther 2. Job done.
Yeah, and you could, and you know, here's a little pitch. You could, you know, and so the Armor Wars comic is about Tony Stark kind of dealing with people who have taken the tech in the wrong direction. You know, what if Rhodey has been a Skrull for a few years post Iron Man and actually has. And the Skrull version of him has done bad shit with the Iron Man tech. And then that gets revealed, or you know, him as a Skrull gets revealed in this show. And then actually what Armor Wars is about is the real Rhodey undoing something.
Yeah.
I don't know. There you go. There's a pitch.
Could be. I don't think Cheetah would ever do that. I don't think he would betray the family. It's just my gut feeling.
That's fine. He's exactly the kind of actor that, you know, he's really beloved. And he's so
he is. You're right. He is beloved, yeah.
He's kind of a good. He'd kind of be a good guy to be like, oh no, he's actually an evil fucking alien that wants to kill humans. That would play.
It would upset audiences. You're right.
Whereas if you were like, oh, Sharon Carter, Sharon Carter is a Skrull. Okay. Who cares? No, I don't. Hey, remember that undercover spy human? Oh, well, it turns out she's been replaced by an undercover alien ninja. Oh, okay, all right. Fine.
No, you know, I like your theory that Armor Wars is going to be about the original Rhodey clearing up a Skrull's mess.
Okay, I've got theories coming out of the wazoo this record. I don't know. I'm absolutely
one of them's got to be right. You know,
it's got to be right.
Like a stopped clock,
broken clock. Yeah. So I have two. There'll be
two of them are going to be correct. Okay, Joe, did you watch the correct Werewolf by Night trailer?
Yeah, I'm fairly sure I did, right? So this one, gorgeous colours, first of all. Dazzling. a lot lighter in tone than I thought it was going to be. I didn't know Rob Zombie was directing it. Weirdly looks like a sitcom. I don't know. We'll see how it turns out.
Now give us the real one.
That was the Munsters I was alluding to. there's like silly fun. This looks like the kind of thing that they would like show in one of those theme restaurants at Disneyland. You know, like that's this like throwback to like, oh, the Blob, the attack of the, you know, like those old school 50s monster B movies. And now what I thought was very curious from the trailer was, is it actually going to look like that? Or is it going to look like it has that real digital sheen? It's gonna have enough CGI in there that I don't know. It looks interesting. Whether it will be good is another matter. But fun cast. I can't remember. I can never remember the actress's name, but the one who's delivering most of the dialogue in the trailer.
Laura Donnelly, is it?
Yeah. Who she was in? She was in Frasier. Frasier's agent. She's in. I mean, she's just a, like, fantastic character actress who, you know, will, you know, one of those classic 27 percenters that will just show up and you'll be like, oh, well, I'm glad they're here to guide me through the next couple of scenes.
Or in Licorice Pizza's case.
I was reaching for what was the movie I watched her in last couple of weeks, and that was the one.
In an excellent, wonderful, great fun film, which I've seen like three times already. But that is, which is full of amazing scenes and quirky kind of performances in one-off scenes, like Bradley Cooper as John Peters. But like that, and yet that's the scene that pops the absolute most, and she is incredible in it. So I agree. I as you said, she was in Frasier. Of course, she's in Frasier. But yes, that's when I watched this trailer, I remembered her from Licorice Pizza and got more excited. You know, 5% more excited about this just because I'd forgotten she was ever in it.
So yeah, it looks fun, doesn't it? It might. I mean, it could be shit. It's entirely possible. And directed by Michael Giacchino, which still feels odd. But I think I'd rather see them taking swings like this.
It does feel genuinely different to anything they've done before in a way that is sort of exciting. Like when they announce more Taika Waititi Thor, you're like, okay, well, we've done that. We know how that's going to be.
Well, not even that. I think like the thing that is the most is the most straightforward comparison is the Guardians of the Galaxy holiday special, which I kind of feel like I know what I'm going to see already, which is
that's true.
A James Gunn parody of the Star Wars holiday special. Yeah. And
this
I think of on paper of the two, this feels like the more interesting. And also if it's just a one off for Halloween, then great. If it's bad, I don't have to
podcast about it. Yeah, I don't have to
worry about podcasting about it for the next 2 months. Yeah,
this is arguably exactly the sort of stuff that I think before we, you know, started watching the Disney Plus shows, the kind of stuff that excited us about the Disney Plus Marvel shows, which is, oh, this is, there'll be a little bit less eyeballs on this, a little bit, you know, fewer column inches that they'll be able to experiment a bit more on this, you know, cause it's, you know, you have to sort of sell a ticket to each thing cause people are, you know, buying the whole package. And this, maybe this is going to be that. And I don't know that if people watch it or don't, that it will lead to more or less of that, who knows, but It could be just weird and a bit and you know far away from the MCU average, which even though well I was going to say some of the MCUs I like more than others. No, I liked Ms. Marvel and the others have been mostly crap. But then what they've also been is pretty, you know, pretty on the brand and the tone and the visual style. Like they, it's more of the same. You know, for again, I was going to say for good or ill, for ill and Ms. Marvel. WandaVision.
But you're right, actually, is that the ones that have worked best on TV have been the ones that haven't just tried to be a Marvel film on a TV budget.
Yeah, the two, there are two of them. Oh, but, you know, Loki tried to be a bit different.
I was going to say, Loki, when it tried to be different, Loki was good. I think She-Hulk has some things going for it at times. Like, the, you know, not to rake over those calls again, but
and then
a lot of it,
and let's not forget about Steven.
I miss
Steven, blimey, Gavner.
Sure,
just to hit again the Michael Giacchino of it all, of this project. You know, I think you know, writers into directors, or producers into directors, or actors into directors, and shepherds of projects. That's all we kind of know how that goes. But I just can't think of. I just can't really think of a you know, John Williams never fucking moved into directing. It's just interest. I just don't even know what to expect from Michael Giacchino, who again is not like a, he isn't the equivalent of Jake Schreier but doing music. Like, he is one of the most in demand, sort of highest profile voices in the game, right? And to move into directing, and it's this project. I just find it interesting. And you know, we referenced the Blank Check podcast probably too much on this podcast. But The idea that he's like, okay, I'm going to move into directing. I'm going to cash in my kind of, you know, scoring check to make a thing. And it's this. It's just, I just don't know what it could be. And, you know, is he doing the score of this? I don't know. You know, you watch the trailer and actually you kind of realize that, oh, maybe this, Hammer Horrors and 50s.
He is doing the score, yeah.
And like, kind of score, you know, obviously score plays such a big role in lots of genres and et cetera. But you know, horror movies and 50s horrors, which this is definitely, you know, this is obviously kind of taken inspiration from. The score is such a character in the thing, and you could totally see that Michael Giacchino is a guy who got into scoring stuff because he was one of the things he loved was. Always old horror movies and that he will then sort of fuel all of that into this, which he's directing as well. I don't know. It could be interesting, or it is interesting just what this is going to be from a directorial standpoint.
I do want to just dredge up the small fact that this isn't the first thing he's directed. He directed a short film called Monster Challenge. And he also directed a short trek, if you remember those.
No, I absolutely
Star Trek Discovery spin-offs, short, 3-4 minute things.
Okay.
So if you want to go check that out, he directed the episode Ephraim and Dot, which I believe is on Netflix in the UK at least.
But with the short film, say the name of it again. Say the title.
Ephraim and Dot.
No, not the Star Trek bullshit. The short film.
Monster Challenge.
Yeah, so that, you know, again, that's he's clearly, well, I think he's into this stuff, and so that could be interesting what he makes from this with a budget.
I just to bring it back around to MCU nerdy stuff. It'd be interesting to see if they use this as a launching pad for any of, you know, more supernatural side of the MCU. So the Wikipedia says that also appearing in this is, well, Man-Thing, which I think we knew about, and members of the Time Variance Authority. I don't know if they were briefly seen in the trailer or something. So I wonder whether there will be attempts to tie this into continuity in some way. And also, Time Variance Authority, you know, what if all of the nonsense multiverse stuff in Loki is the thing that is kind of like, unleashed supernatural beings on the world. You know, I always liked the Matrix theory of like vampires and monsters being like relics of previous versions of the Matrix that were left behind.
Are you shitting me? You liked that?
Yes, I love that idea. I love that idea in Reloaded. think it's insane. I think it's one of the great ideas in Reloaded, where they're like, yeah, all of the kind of like the weird shit in the world is left over from previous versions of the Matrix where we didn't quite get the storytelling right.
Software does not work that way.
I would like that idea here, if potentially, you know, like the creation of the multiverse or the cracks in the multiverse has let these like weird creatures out, and that's where, you know, vampires and werewolves come from, and that's why we're going to start to get projects like Blade.
It's important to note that the Man Thing is traditionally the guardian of the Nexus of Realities.
There we go.
So there's probably going to be some multiverse stuff in there somehow.
Have you got the Blade news in here, James?
Which Blade news?
I saw this.
Yes, I saw this. I saw this while we were recording. I'm guessing no. The director has quit.
Oh.
Yeah.
Joe, do you want to do the beeps noise?
Beep, 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 beep. Well, yeah, I just saw it. I think I was looking at like for some CBR bullshit, but yeah, so it looks like Basim Tarek, who directed Mowgli, has quit the project, and that came out like a few hours ago. And then Jeff Snyder, who I'm sure we all have mixed feelings about. Yes.
Well, yeah. This was the part of the story that I raised more of an eyebrow at.
I'm told, and this is just a tweet, he's just tweeted this. I'm told Blade filming has been pushed to November as Marvel searches for a new director. And then another tweet from him, and this is the last one. I'm told that the current Blade script is roughly 90 pages and features exactly two brackets lackluster action sequences. Mahershala said to be very frustrated. Feige said to be spread too thin. Interesting. That's all.
A shame that he's moved away from this movie. It doesn't sound dissimilar to, you know, like kind of what happened on Ant-Man, for example, that a director...
That's what IMA immediately sprang to as well.
Yeah, a director who the movie didn't end up being quite what he wanted it to be, moved away from the project, had to find a different director late on. And all of the rest of the stuff that Jeff Snyder, who I believe is an unaffiliated now entertainment reporter...
he's launching a new site. That's
great. Who's been fired from just about every outlet he's ever worked for. There feels like an awful lot of stuff there that... Oh, Kevin Feige spread too thin. Like, it feels like something you could have said following any piece of Marvel news for the past... you know, 5 years. That all feels kind of like, yeah, okay, I'm sure it's got a script that they're not quite happy with. I'm sure there is a bit behind the scenes drama if there is left. But yeah, I guess as far as Marvel are concerned, they're going to be making a Blade movie. It's got Delroy Lindo and Midsize Sedan in it. They're probably still feeling confident.
Sorry to derail with some breaking news. Although I actually looked at the tweet
18 hours. Yeah,
I genuinely just read it also, so it's sort of in late. Breaking for Reese, and nowhere for James, who made the itinerary.
Listen, if the entertainment websites aren't reporting it, we can't blame for that. Okay, are we all done with Werewolf by Night
and Coffin? We done with Coffin?
Yeah.
Not until the COVID's gone.
There's only one Coffin we're done with, and that is the Queen's Coffin.
Oh.
Okay, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We've got 6 more things, but they're all small.
What?
They're small. Okay. Let's do them quickly. So Matt Shackman announced as director for Fantastic Four. That was a new piece of information. Feelings, thoughts.
I want to know the take and the cast. You know, Matt Shackman directs Fantastic Four. Oh, you know, he directed WandaVision, one of, you know, the second best MCU show, and still, you know, really well liked. But yeah, I mean, we just don't know enough about
WandaVision is inordinately better than Ms. Marvel. By leagues and leagues.
So, good show. Good, and maybe, you know, perhaps all of the fucking crap that's come after WandaVision within the same system, maybe Matt Shacklin actually I still think he's probably a good bet for the director of Secret Wars, actually.
Okay, interesting.
You know, because that, you know, they announced
Fantastic Four story traditionally. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, well, it's not just that, but you know, if you just look at, and we've done this merry-go-round before, but you know, you look at actually the stable as it currently is, and people who haven't sort of, you know, who haven't left, like the Russos, etc. You know, that the stable isn't massive, and it will be somebody who's made a feature, and it's not going to be, you know, it's not going to be Cretton now. I don't think they would have announced that he was doing both if he was going to do both. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. To me, it seems clear. And also, we talked about this before, but what FF ends the previous phase, or it starts the phase that the Avengers movies are in. I think it starts the phase.
Yeah.
So, you know, and the story is, you know, at least both versions of it actually, you know, both the original, the 60s one, and the more modern one are sort of Reed Richards' story. So, You could definitely see it.
Yeah.
I'm not. I need to. You know, we need to hear more about what it is, and the cast and the cast and the take we have to hear, because we've had boring Fantastic Four movies. So it's just to announce that it's happening is not. I just don't think it's enough to be excited about it necessarily.
Okay.
So I actually think that this is one of the bits of like a director announcing that Marvel have done that makes just a huge amount of sense. So Shackman, internally well liked because of WandaVision, which, you know, I think it was one of those shows that, you know, you saw the craft in direction and writing and, you know, and performances in front of the screen, and so, you know, it makes sense that the, you know, the key creative people coming out of WandaVision, Jack Schaefer and Matt Shackman, have both been given other Marvel projects to work on. In terms of someone to shepherd one of their kind of like big event movies within the MCU, because, you know, the way that this was announced, you know, and the way it's been presented at the moment is alongside those two Avengers movies. So it feels like it's one of their big event movies, and Shackman with his sitcom background feels the closest to the Russos that they've got on the current roster. And then also, you know, aside from his sitcom stuff, which and a lot of his TV work, so obviously It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is his, like, his big show, I think, that he probably worked the most on and you know, developed his reputation on. He's also worked, you know, and I would imagine that all of that kind of like sitcom character comedy kind of stuff will work really well, or will be something that will translate well over to a Fantastic Four movie. And then you look at, well, you know, does he have anything in his credits to go, he could work on a giant blockbuster movie? Well, he directed three episodes of Game of Thrones at the point where Game of Thrones was demanding those giant budgets. So he directed three episodes during season 7, which I think penultimate season. Yeah, makes sense from that perspective as well, I think. I think he's a good choice. He makes sense. He was going to be directing a blockbuster in Star Trek before this, which, you know, unfortunately, Fantastic Four is a movie that hasn't announced a cast yet. Star Trek was a movie that hadn't told its cast they were going to be in it yet, and has fallen apart for those reasons.
Stop trying to make Star Trek 4 happen. That's all I
am. I think Shackman is a sensible choice for this. I agree. it would make sense for him to do Secret Wars as well if the production, you know, that's they're released a year apart. So if it allows it, it might make sense. And yeah, I'm just really curious now to see who they announce as the cast for that movie. That's the big one, right? That's the one that everyone's waiting for. Are the Fantastic Four?
I think Reese is right when he says let's wait and see what the take is, because it's gonna change so much about how that movie looks and how the MCU conducts itself.
And again, wouldn't you love it that, you know, that idea that, well, it was Seb's idea, wasn't it, that you go back and you do a 50s movie set in a different universe and you spit them out into our universe at the end of it, and you do like the classic, like golden age, or is it silver age origin? I don't know.
Silver age, yeah.
Yeah, but Joe, you know, so what, it starts in the 50s and it ends up in current day, you know, what did that? WandaVision.
I thought you were going to say Captain America. No. The 40s, but yeah, just about.
And all that 50s stuff in the first couple episodes of WandaVision was pretty fucking immaculately done. It's pretty, you know, it's really amazingly done.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna pick a guy, he's the guy.
And as I said, with your key five members of the It's Always Sunny cast, if you wanted to, you've got your Fantastic Four and Doctor Doom right there. think of a better piece of casting for Ben Grimm than Danny DeVito.
I was literally, when you said he directed Always Sunny, that's exactly where my brain went.
Right, but quickly go through it.
So Glenn Howerton is Dr. Doom.
Yeah.
I mean, you've Caitlin Olsen has to be Sue Storm. Danny DeVito is. And then you make Rob McElhenney the Human Torch, because then funny to have the husband and wife as the brother and sister, I think.
God.
which leaves Charlie Day as Reed Richards.
I mean, Charlie Day as Reed Richards, I can see it, you know, based on Pacific Rim.
Yeah,
you
can do his Pacific Rim or his there's a Flowers for Algernon riff episode in It's Always Sunny that you could go down that direction.
I think weirdly, like,
it works, right? It works.
It does. But also weirdly, like, Mystic Quest and Welcome to Wrexham, Rob McElhenney would kind of be okay.
Yeah, as Reed Richards, he kind of would.
And then obviously, I don't think Charlie Day as Johnny Storm. That for me, that's almost the
Glenn Howerton would be a good Doctor Doom.
He would be. God, he'd be like the first incel Doctor Doom. He'd be
because of the implication.
The idea that, like, that sort of, and it would be like a It's Always Sunny joke almost, that he'd be talking about his facial scarring that has driven him underground the whole movie, and then he'd take off his helmet and he'd have like a pinprint on his feet with his coiffed hair. You can see it. That's a gag
in something, isn't it?
I mean, that is the Doctor Doom thing, is that his face wasn't actually that scarred,
initially. Right? Okay,
yeah,
I knew I'd heard that before.
Yeah. I think that was Kirby's original origin for him. Okay, so we had my news, but Joey, this is your news. Oh. Vincent D'Onofrio is back for Daredevil: Born Again.
Did we not know that already?
We didn't know it.
Great.
He was in Hawkeye, and he was going to be in Echo, but he's also going to be in Daredevil: Born Again.
Great. I mean,
I'm not sure if they've announced Eldon Henson yet.
Throw D'Onofrio into everything. He's great as that character. I think the way that they should use him now is you use him significantly in Daredevil projects, and then you have him popping up as a boogeyman in all of the other stuff. So great.
Oh, what if he's in Tim Blake Nelson's team in New World Order? That would be cool. That would be really cool. He's like in the baddie team, yeah.
Like what they do at the end of the Hawkeye comic, where you've got like Kingpin and all of the other like
crime bosses,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, could happen. Not much to say about that other than.
Well, I think
we like D'Onofrio.
The only thing I'd say is that D'Onofrio, I think he's here to play. He's sort of down to fucking clown in this shit.
Yeah,
he's
yeah.
been kind of pushing for it for years. A guy at that state in his career, and he booked that gig in the show. I sort of think if Feige wants to, and he's great, you know, and he's so terrific as it. And I think if Feige wants to build something around him, yeah, I mean, I think he'd be down for it.
Definitely. It's kind of wild, right? That there's maybe not a character who has been as well cast in superhero movies as Kingpin. Because between
sorry, what?
That's a big line, mate.
Yeah, that is a big swing.
Well, no, I mean, for like a character that's been used twice and probably doesn't have a huge cultural cachet, both of the pieces of casting kind of nailed it.
I guess. Superman. That's tough. We could do this all day. I could do this all day. I think the problem you have with that is that the Daredevil, you know, that I know what you're saying, that Michael Clarke Duncan is great in that movie and is very well cast, but I just think the opinion of that film is a bit of a meh. And so
yeah, but
Michael Clarke Duncan gets no material in that movie. Like
The casting is great
and casting is fine, but.
And and Colin Farrell's very good in that movie, but no one will ever remember that.
Is not Joker probably the real answer to that?
No, because you've had bad versions of it.
Jared Leto, yeah.
That's the one, though. I mean,
there's been another one recently that wasn't very good. From what we saw, it could be redeemed, but it wasn't very good.
Who are we talking about?
Your mate Barry.
What?
Barry Keoghan.
Oh fuck!
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Enough about. No, come on.
We have a memorable experience for recently. Yeah.
Your mate Barry. I'm sorry, I didn't get it from your mate Barry.
Okay. Let's move on from that because we got nothing. Another two more pieces of casting news. Kei Hui Kwan in Loki Series 2.
Oh yeah, this is fun.
Yeah, although it does feel a bit like someone saw Everything Everywhere All at Once and went,
yeah.
Can we get him? Can we get him for our multiverse film?
He'll
be the multiverse guy.
I just think it's one of those where it's like someone seen the hit indie, movie.
Oh, he's back on the market,
year.
Is he?
You've got someone who already has, you know, it's like, oh, it's, you know, the way that a lot of people did with Everything All at Once, who go, oh, it's Short Round. Yeah. And you can stick him in Loki season 2 into a pre-written character. He's got a very unique screen presence.
Good
casting,
film.
Right?
Yeah.
I think you know he's the kind of person that, yes, probably should be rewarded with a nice little paycheck in a high-profile thing after giving a performance that everyone liked in a breakout indie hit. Great.
And also, I don't know if you saw the photo of him and Harrison Ford from D23.
Yes.
I mean, that's the only thing I cared about after.
Reese, don't let your dislike of Everything Everywhere All at Once
don't let your incorrect opinions on fantastic movies.
The problem is, it's looking like Michelle Yeoh, you know, the A24 is absolutely going to push her for Best Actress.
She'll get nominated.
Maybe I need to watch that. I think maybe I was staying with you, Joe, at the time, and maybe I had a bad lunch. I don't know. I just had a really bad experience.
No.
Watching. I did. Well, no, I was gonna.
Oh yeah.
Go into weird TMI specifics. I had to use the bathroom inside the cinema. So become ablutions at an ill time. Maybe I was in that kind of state of mind. I don't know. I didn't like my experience.
Reese departed to the in cinema for the in cinema revolution 10 minutes into the trailers, and the movie started, and I was like, "Is he okay? Do I need to go look for him?"
I needed some time. I needed some time for myself. I did. And then I got it, and I came out, and then I had a pretty bad time watching the film.
Yeah.
I can't disconnect those two things that happened.
Because I think we're having this debate now, it's a movie that is adjacent to the interest of this podcast, right?
Sure.
Yeah. I think it's a flawed movie. I think it has some stuff in it that doesn't work. But I also think it's good, you know, like it's good, silly fun, and also has some just like bravura elements within it. I do understand the pushback, because I think there are some people, you know, increasingly as people are catching up and going, that was the movie that everyone lost their shit about. And I do get that, because I do think it has its flaws. I think there's one like really fundamental one in the plotting as well. But overall, it's a good time, and it has some good performances in it. And it's, how do you say his name? Ki Kwai Kwan?
Kei Hui Kwan.
Kei Hui Kwan. Apologies. He's charming in it, and I'm glad that he's getting his kind of payday off the back of that. Also, James, I read that Eugene Cordero had been up to a series regular.
Sure.
Do you remember Eugene Cordero? He's the guy whose face you will absolutely recognize from the series. He was in like the first couple of episodes as like one of the TVA dudes. I think he's the one that has all of the Infinity Gems in his drawer.
Yeah.
He is the kind of performer that should have been a series regular the first time around, and I'm glad that he is going to be in season two.
Well, fingers crossed for season two of Loki. You know, my problems with the first one notwithstanding, there were no problems with the cast. So, given that there's a whole new creative team behind it, maybe things will be better. Certainly, I'm not displeased to see any of these casting announcements.
Put someone we don't like in one of these.
Well, okay, I've got one more casting announcement that I'll be interested to hear how you feel about this. Anthony Ramos.
Absolute dickhead.
Announced that. Sorry. Anthony Ramos has been announced as the Hood in Ironheart.
Oh, that rules. Yeah, that's great. It was so funny about, I can't remember when, 20 minutes ago, we were talking about something else. I totally was thinking, I think we're talking about like Bendis stuff maybe, like, but you know, sort of a Bendis comic. And I was like, Secret Invasion, the Secret Invasion chat. And I did think, the Hood. I swear the Hood thing, they announced the Hood. Have we talked about it in the pod? Yeah. Have we not? I can't even remember. I didn't Google it. Here we are. That's cool. He's great. I think he'd been rumored for some MCU stuff.
Who's the Hood?
The Hood is a small-time crook who gets a demon-enchanted cloak that gives him powers.
Okay.
He's got two guns.
He's cool.
He's got two guns. He's cool.
Yeah.
I think my only comment on this, you know, great. I think an insanely charismatic actor who just kind of comes out of the screen at you.
And he speaks in rhyme all the time.
The Hood does, yeah. That's one of the famous character traits.
Anthony Ramos.
Yeah, that's he does.
Yeah.
My name is The Hood, The Hood, The Hood. I don't get it. I think the only thing is it's a weird project for him to be the bad guy in, I guess.
It's strange to put a magical villain in a show about technology, but you have to assume that's going to be the point in some way, right?
No, because it's in my memory I might be wrong about this. Did Bendis create the character or just kind of take him on from an older comic and really push him up a bit? I think it's the latter.
I have a vague memory that it might have been Brian K. Vaughan who did the original miniseries.
Oh, sorry, that's right. It is Brian K. Vaughan, yeah.
But
yeah.
Bendis certainly dragged him out of the doldrums and went, okay,
but he was kind of, an antagonist to the street level Bendis characters, right? To the new Avengers at the time in the comics. And so it's not so much the magic bit for me that is confusing. It's that he has never really interacted with the kind of techie Iron Man-y bit of the MCU. But you know, also with Ironheart, you've also got the link to, you've got the Wakandan piece, which I think is new versus the comic. So it could be that this character is, you know, and obviously because Iron Man is not around anymore. So, you know, so this character, the character of Ironheart could be quite a different conception than what we have in the comics. And unlike other, you know, other MCU adaptations, Ironheart is a pretty new character. There's just not that much Ironheart. And so I don't know if that's a positive or a negative, but to both feel like a, a character that is could be quite different to the comics version, and it's not as though the comics version is particularly kind of bedded in or has had a range of different stories about her. I don't know whether that's good or bad, but and I don't know whether the Hood kind of casting is makes sense in that or not. But all I know is that Anthony Ramos is great, and I think it's gonna be fun to see him play a villain. Actually, I'm not sure he's done that, so yeah, I'm down for
that. I mean, the thing about the Hood is that he was conceived, he was sort of supposed to be like an inverted Spider-Man. So it's supposed to be like, what if this kid got, you know, superpowers that made him less responsible and you know, less moral. And that's why he's called Parker Robbins, because it's a nod to Peter Parker. But you can sort of see Anthony Ramos playing that type of character, like the kind of corrupted innocence.
Yeah. He's got a kind of baby face look to him, and yeah, exactly. Yeah, you can see that.
Can I shock you?
Go on.
I don't love Anthony Ramos as an actor.
Really? He's Philip Hamilton.
He's one of the least pop worthy elements of the Hamilton cast. Like he'd be like, he's behind almost everyone else in that main cast for me in terms of like, on the soundtrack album and on the film performance that I'm like, oh, I want to see that dude in something else next. Like he's way down the list, and I really struggled with him in the Heights, which is a movie I struggled with in general, and I kind of thought that all of the leads in that were. I just kind of didn't have the charisma they needed to pull that kind of thing off. And I did kind of watch In the Heights going, I wonder if I'd be enjoying this more if it was Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Hmm. He's in it. He sells the
frozones. Yeah. So I don't know. It's not that I think he's bad. I've just not been like really sold on him in my and I don't like him in A Star Is Born either. So,
but I got good news for you, In the Heights hater, about one of the stars of In the Heights, Leslie Grace, and her most recent
project. I know.
It's been killed.
Yeah, you got your wish, Joe. You got your wish.
Brutal, isn't it? Meanwhile, Melissa Barrera is off there, like becoming the new like central character in the Scream franchise. She's maybe the worst of all of them.
And who are we forgetting? What's his face from who was in Independence Day 2, right? What's his name?
Corey Hawkins.
Yes. He's. What do you think about him? You hate him too, do you?
I don't really understand that character in the Heights.
He's educated and he's back and he loves the girl and he doesn't know what to do.
He's doing it for the hustle.
He's doing it for the hustle.
He's a businessman.
Yeah. Not a good movie, I thought.
Well, yeah.
Good movie. I mean, that's two that we, you know, two versus one. Yeah. Joe, you are outvoted. Democracy's real, even with our third unelected prime minister. Democracy works. But the good news is she's doing nothing wrong. Everything's good. Everything's fine.
Yep.
What's the pound worth now? Have we checked?
It's probably best not to.
Is it worth more than my socks is this currently?
Good?
I don't know.
Question, is this good or bad for the Patreon?
I mean, let's discuss it where we can't convince anyone to make any spending decisions.
Might be easier where we can just charge a flat rate across all currencies. It's funny, but
wouldn't that be hilarious? Like a Patreon post, it would be like. UK government guilt yields, and then it's like paragraphs about what currency we'd like people to pay in. That's like end time shit.
Listeners, please don't change to a more affordable Patreon currency, because we are going to need to pay our mortgages, of which the interest rate is about to be very, very high.
What I will say is Patreon has not adjusted its exchange rates, and we will continue to offer a good value content.
And the other thing, I'll jump in and say, if our Patreon number gets up to 155K a year for each of us, then actually we're actually pretty quids in. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying.
Well, on that, I believe we've reached the conclusion of the podcast.
Do you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go watch the Secret Invasion trailer as soon as we stop recording.
That's good. Better late than never. That's what they say.
I'm going to go watch, and this is for listeners, this is a long-running thread. I'm going to go watch Andor. Guys, Andor's good. It's good Star Wars.
Andor what?
Andor what, yeah.
Andor program. I'm going to go watch Andor program, and I'm going to enjoy it. And okay. To the listener that doesn't like me talking about House of the Dragon, I shan't. And that's it. I won't. I'm not going to do it. House of the who of the dragon what? Not going to happen.
I'm going to watch All About Eve.
I'm going to play Return of Monkey Island.
Oh, we've got, you know, listeners, I should say this, it's 11 p.m. on a Wednesday. We've got pretty full plans for the rest of the evening. So yeah, good for us.
Well, I have to watch all of my movies in part, you know, just okay, I've got half an hour here, and then okay, the next night, ooh, an hour, you know, there's so, like I think I've got about 35 minutes of All About Eve left to watch. So
you're not watching All About Eve, you're watching partly About Eve. Yeah.
I think what I'm going to watch is still going to be All About Eve.
And that's just how she likes it. That's what she wants you to think.
Okay. I don't normally do the sign off, so I'm going to give it a shot in the dark, and we'll see what comes out. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next month. In the meantime, you can contact us
dollars.
On...
Thousand dollars.
You can contact us on Twitter at @Cine_verse. I'm at James Hunt. Reese is at Reese, and Joe is at JoeCunningham14. You can also subscribe to our Patreon, patreon.com/cinematicuniverse, where we are currently reviewing every episode of She-Hulk, although I'm off on holiday next week, so it's up to these two to figure that out.
Yep. And it's currently $2 a month and £15 a month. So that... I'm back.
Is that? I think that's all.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Sounds good.
That's it. We'll be back next month. Goodbye, podcast.
Bye, podcast.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.